This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. They say everything can be replaced. They say every distance is not near. Not sure whether you or someone you care about is a victim of domestic violence? Well, okay, here's a test. Are you afraid of your partner? Do you find yourself constantly worrying about his or her mood changes? Does your partner try to control where you go, what you do, and who you see? Have you stopped seeing family and friends to avoid your partner's jealousy? Does he or she control your finances? Does he or she accuse you of having affairs? Does your partner force you to engage in sexual activities that make you uncomfortable? Has your partner ever physically hurt or threatened to hurt you or another family member? Does he or she threaten violence or suicide if you leave? If you answered yes to any or all of these questions, you may be a victim of abuse. Among the many myths about domestic violence, probably the most persistent is the old, "If it were that bad, she'd just leave." The truth is, the victim having trouble leaving is not a masochist. She or he knows the most dangerous time will come when she tries to leave. The victim may have to plan for a safe house or to enter a shelter. Where will the children stay? Can she get access to money without her abuser finding out? And so on. The good news is that attitudes toward domestic violence are changing and education is improving. Today, there are organizations, national and local, set up to help, to advise, to recommend legal, medical, and shelter assistance. There are hotlines and websites you can turn to 24/7. Now back to two women who took the right steps and set themselves free, Joanne Rada and Elizabeth Grant.
Joanne,
you mentioned earlier that you had to go into hiding. I kept thinking about the underground highway during the Civil War, how people snuck slaves to the North to protect them. And I've only in the last 20 years become aware that something similar has been going on in our own country in the last 25 years with abused children and wives.
Yeah.
But none of us know about this, so it's working.
Yeah,
but right. How does this work?
Well, I could tell you about me going into hiding. My family was very supportive when I did go home in the middle of the night. My family just said, "Welcome home." And they were shocked at the extent of the abuse that was going on, but they weren't too surprised. They were just incredibly sad for me, but have been incredibly supportive and have helped me. And in terms of like an underground, I really had to use them to help me find a safe place to go. My abuser knows the local shelter, so I couldn't go to a local shelter. And I did seek some help from the Putnam Northern Westchester Women's Resource Center, who are just a godsend. But when it came to going to shelter, I couldn't use their shelters. I was afraid that he would find me in them just because of the kind of work that he does. And I know for sure that he knows exactly where one of them is. So I had to find another way. And I was able to find a safe house to go to, hours and hours away. I knew that my abuser would question my family, so I would not tell my family where I was. And that was the hardest thing ever. You know, but I do remember getting in the car and driving towards the place, and I have some money. I have no idea how long it's supposed to last me. And I remember being on the road and going, you know, I could still turn around and go back to life and just go back there and just do what he says and everything will be fine and everything can be normal. And, you know, I knew that was ridiculous, but just the risk that I felt like I was taking was so enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't use my credit cards. I'm having to depend on this cash that I have. You know, you can't use Easy Pass. You can't use anything to track you. Mm-hmm. I had to get a brand new cell phone. No, nothing. No GPS. It's just so overwhelming to think that way. I had to put all of my accounts online on automatic bill pay and just hope that whatever I had in the bank was going to cover it and just go because I had no idea how long I was going to be gone. Kept checking the rearview mirror to make sure I wasn't being followed. He's got one of those illegal police scanners, so
right.
I'm making sure I'm traveling like 50 miles an hour because, you know, I'm running for my life and I'm going 50, wanting to go like 100. And as I'm checking the rearview mirror, I'm checking for him, but I realize I'm looking at my life. Everything that I've built up to be my identity, I'm leaving behind my family, my church, my job, everything that has come to be me. And I have no idea whether I'm ever coming back to that. So, you know, when people ask, why don't you just leave? Well, that's why, right there. It's not that easy.
And you some know, people don't have the money to attempt it.
Exactly.
Or they have kids, or there's a million reasons why women
yes.
are afraid to make that move.
Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine having done that with kids in the car.
Oh, my God, it'd be even worse.
Right.
Sure.
And I was lucky enough to have my own job all those years to have that money to take with me. Now I have no money, but, you know, I had some money then.
But you're both alive and well. And
absolutely.
The wonderful thing is you're sitting here before me and you made it through.
Yes.
You made it through. And you're living examples to the girl who's being beaten right now as we speak.
Yeah.
That if you see where this is going and you know it's going to end badly, get out. Tell someone. Do something.
Yeah, there's hope.
And there are numbers that you can call, 24-hour hotline, and you should use them. I mean, just imagine being in an abusive relationship, being knocked down physically, mentally, verbally for 10 years.
Yeah.
You're left with no self-esteem, no self-image. You don't think you can do it. But you know what? We're proof that it does happen and it can happen because we both left our situations and we are survivors.
Joanne.
I wouldn't trade today for anything. I wouldn't go back to that house, that relationship, for anything. My worst day now is better than my best day then. There were times that some of my counselors, you know, have been like, I never thought you were going to get out of there alive. And thank goodness I'm alive today to tell about it and that I did get out of there. And I will tell everybody out there that there's hope. They're not alone. You know, people in this situation, there's a lot of us that have been through it. And, you know, I look at other people and I say, I can't believe what you've been through. But you find supports. You find Liz and I and our little group of WAM, Women Achieving More, we found support in each other and we've done some great fundraising and support efforts and education to the community.
How did you get that started? Not only did you save your lives, but you started an organization to help each other. And that's amazing.
Yeah, we just found out that they weren't doing a vigil in October in Putnam County. And we,
and we
decided,
were not hearing that.
Yeah. We decided we were going to do it ourselves and Kathy and Sarah, two of our other friends. And we did it and there was huge attendance. We reached out to everybody and just said, look, you know, we went out to the community. We talked to them and educated them about domestic violence, asked if they would participate in some way, shape or form. We included the youth because teen dating violence is on the rise and fast, and it's really important for teens to hear about domestic violence and to learn about it now before they're in it, before they're part of the problem. So people had an opportunity to be really educated while they were there. And
Liz?
Don't forget, Joanne, you were singing and strumming your guitar.
Yeah.
But you're doing it again right now. You're doing education right now.
Yes.
I mean, it's tragic to know that one out of every three households is domestic violence. When you go and you look at your street and you drive past, you know, all those houses and you count one, two, three, four, all those houses, one out of three households is domestic violence.
Most people will be shocked to hear that.
Joanne and I have done a lot of work ever since that candlelight vigil because we didn't want it to end there. So after our candlelight vigil, we raised over $1,500 to help out the rooms inside our local shelter. So this way, when the women go through the doors, they at least feel a little bit better and more put at ease, that it looks more homey looking. And then we held a silent auction, our latest event, which was huge. We raised over $3,000 towards a generator for that local shelter.
Nice.
And counting.
And counting.
Cool.
Basically, we were just so amazed by our community support. It was amazing. The community really came out and showed their support by donating a lot of items, supplies, gift certificates to restaurants and gym memberships, and so it was just nice to know how generous people can really be.
My last question to you both. Are you safe now? Are you both safe now?
That question's very hard to answer because there's part of me that will never say yes to that. I will always look over my shoulder, and I will never be able to feel completely safe because my experience with my abuser is that he's kept grudges for years and years and years and years. But in terms of my safety, I have an excellent safety plan, and he doesn't run my life anymore, and I'm not afraid of him. I'm prepared. I also feel safe because the police departments that are in my area know my situation. They watch my house, and I feel very comfortable that if anything happens, they're going to be right there. I'm very thankful for that. I'm not running scared from him anymore.
Good for you. And you, Liz, you have 3 kids.
It is what it is now. Right now, he doesn't see the kids, and I've struggled with that for a while. But, you know, I've come to terms with that, and I'm glad that I kind of have it better than people who are divorced and, you know, their kids see their dad every other weekend and the strain and struggle that that is on the kids. You know, being a single mother of 3, it is hard. It is really hard.
Sure.
But, you know, you get through it like everything else. You know, even though you may take 2 steps forward and 1 step back, you still keep going forward. I'm alive. You know, my kids are okay. And
to anyone listening to these women today, to Liz and to Joanne, pay attention to what they did. You can do it too. I thank you both, Liz and Joanne. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Are you or is someone you care about being abused? Help is out there, and the National Hotline may help you find local agencies. Call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org, or call us at 877-MARYKNOLL or dial 877-627-9566. You've been listening to Voices of Our World, a weekly program about human rights and social justice. Joanne Rada and Elizabeth Grant are just 2 of the voices of our world. I'm your host, Eileen Bott, and this week's show was produced by Kathy Golden. You heard music today by Tracy Nelson and the band. The phone number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is located and a link to their website is present. You can also listen to today's program or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Until next time, thank you for listening to Voices of Our World.